Reformed Church.
So thank you so much, Jesus, for the ministry that you've given us, Lord, the ministry of reconciliation. Lord, that you've given us a ministry to the whole world, and we all have the exact same ministry. We may play a particular part in it, Lord. We may emphasize a particular part of this ministry, but it's all the exact same ministry, Lord. And it's the ministry of reconciliation, Lord, letting people know that, Father, you were in Christ reconciling the world to yourself, not imputing their trespasses to them. That is good news. So thank you so much, Father, that preaching in the church, we should be able to preach on the topic of sin. We should be able to teach on the topic of trespasses. But when we teach on that topic, Lord, it should be that God is not imputing your trespasses to you because of what Jesus did on the cross. Thank you, Lord. It's not about avoiding the topic. It's about taking it head on, Lord, and telling people what Jesus did about it, not what they need to do about it. So thank you so much, Jesus, for your victory on the cross over sin. And there's nothing more we need to do about it ourselves but to believe in the victory that you already won for us at the cross. So thank you so much, Jesus, for that. We love you. We praise you. We give you the glory. Thank you for an awesome service, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let me read you something real quick. And I actually mean real quick. I don't necessarily intend on staying here, but if you can throw up 1 Peter 2:24 behind me, 1 Peter 2:24, we typically would turn to this, you know, for healing, but actually I want to point out to you the first part of the verse, 1 Peter 2:24, is where it says, by Jesus' stripes you were healed at the end of the verse, but in the beginning of the verse it says who, his own self, that Jesus is talking about here, his own self, that means not you, his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. But you notice that it talks about us living unto righteousness. But whose work results in us living unto righteousness? Because it names a work, and then it says that we might live unto righteousness. Living unto righteousness is talking about doing the right thing. That's not talking about faith there. That's not talking about any of that. That's talking about doing the right thing in your actions, in your thoughts, right? Purity, all of that. And it says, whose work is attributed to our living righteously? His own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. That means so that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness. He did a work so that you can live unto righteousness. Jesus did a work and bore your sins so that you'd be able to live unto righteousness. So it's his work that we believe on. Now, I'm filling in a lot of gaps here, which, you know, we have, I've taught a Yet Not I series. Pastor Jose's taught plenty of this on this as well, about rest from works. And we have a Reform U class online. We got a topic under our media page. We got a topic about rest from works. But so you'd have to get all that material to fill in the gaps here on how this all works. But it's Jesus' obedience at the cross. And Jesus, he did something about sin that makes you live unto righteousness. It didn't say who our own self defeats sin, are fighting against sin, are struggling against sin, that we might live unto righteousness. The opposite. He even says who his own self. He could have just said Jesus, but he says his own self, meaning not you. He bore our sin at the cross so that the result would be that God would be able to purify for himself a people zealous for good works. That's what it says in the book of Titus. In other words, he purified you so that the result of his purification of you would be effortless good works through you. Teaching on sin is really important, but if you teach on sin, teach on the victor over sin, which is Jesus. But what we've done is in the church, we've taught on sin, and we've thought we're doing something noble by saying, I'm not going to shy away from saying, you know, calling sin, sin. Well, you shouldn't shy away from calling sin, sin. You can name a whole bunch of different things, fornication and adultery and homosexuality and transgenderism and all those things, but you're not a big man because you say those things are sin. You're doing something big when you will say what is sin, sure, but just saying what sin ain't going to set anybody free. What sets people free is knowing Jesus and what he did about sin. That's what sets people free. Jesus, you know the verse in John 8, he says, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Notice, if you keep reading in that chapter, he says, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. A few verses later, he says, and if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. So the truth about what actually is setting you free? The Son. It's actually Jesus and the truth about what he did that sets a person free. So you're not being a big man to say, I'm going to call sin, sin. Well, you haven't set anybody free. You haven't done anything. All you've let someone know is the problem. And you're giving them actually a false impression that it's still a problem versus something that's been solved and defeated through Jesus. Now, I'm not saying that there's not sin running rampant in this world, and I'm not saying that there's not transformation needed there. That's not what I mean by it's not a problem. People need to receive the solution. It could be a problem in someone's life, of course, who's not saved because they haven't received the solution. But I'm saying on God's end, He's solved that already. That's the information we need to give when we're talking about sin. Teach on sin. Say what's wrong and what's right, and say this wrong, just the same way that we would teach on sickness at this church and say, Jesus defeated sickness, and by His stripes you were healed. Not by your work, not by your own confession, not by your doing the right thing. By His work, by His stripes, His wounds, you were healed. Likewise, by Him bearing your sin, you can live unto righteousness. It's not something you do for God, it's something Jesus did for you. You need to believe on how He bore sin, and you'll live unto righteousness. You need to believe on His wounds and His stripes, and you will be healed. Everything at this church and everything at any church across the world, anything that we preach needs to not make a beeline eventually to Jesus. Not everything just eventually ties back to Jesus. No, that's not how it works. Everything is solely, strictly teaching about Jesus. That's it. That's the topic. You can talk about one or two or three different aspects of who Jesus is and what He did at the cross when we're preaching. But it's not like, yeah, when we teach, eventually everything gets back to Jesus. No. That's giving yourself license to talk about something that doesn't have direct application to what Jesus did. No. We don't give ourselves license to do that. It's what Jesus did, nothing else. Pastor, they was just teaching on this on Sunday and the previous Sunday, that I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Nothing among you except that. That's not an Easter message. That's telling people where their freedom lies. You want to talk about sin? Talk about what Jesus did about sin. You want to talk about sickness? Talk about what Jesus did about sickness. You want to talk about relationships? Fine. Talk about what Jesus did about relationships. You want to talk about any topic under the sun? Jesus did something about all the futility under the sun that goes on in this world. Talk about all of it. You can get specific about specific problems in marriage, in boyfriend-girlfriend relationships, in dating, and all these different things, but tell people what Jesus did about it so they can receive. If you just tell people the problem, you're not any better than someone in this world that, people don't even need Jesus to know they have a problem. They shouldn't have to come to church to be told simply what the problem is. We come to church to understand the problem that Jesus fixed. And it's knowing that Jesus fixed these things that sets people free. And nothing else is going to set you free. Nothing else is going to set you free. There's no self-help thing. There's no AA meeting that's going to set you free. I'm not saying that all of these programs and things, I've never been to AA, so I couldn't tell you whether or not it's not good or not. I have no opinion on it because I don't know anything about it. But I can tell you this much about it. This is what I do know about it, or any self-help thing, or anything in this world, or any program, or any counselor, or any therapist, or any of that stuff. I can tell you this, none of it will set you free. The best that any of these things can do, well, let me rephrase this. At worst, it's actually hurting you and teaching you unbelief. At best, it can numb the pain. It can help you cope with your problem until the day that you die. And you say, well, that's pretty grim. Oh, that's pretty grim without Jesus. Yeah, it is pretty grim. That's why we have Jesus, right? If it wasn't grim, we wouldn't need Jesus. That's the best that it can do, is help you cope with your problem until the day that you die. It can't set you free. But whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And that freedom is referring to sickness. It's referring to handicap. It's referring to weakness and growing weary and aging. It's referring to sin and addictions. It's referring to bad habits, wrong emotions, wrong desires. It's referring to all of that. What we need to be telling people is what Jesus did about those things. Teach a whole message on sin. Love it, as long as it's what Jesus did about sin. Teach a whole message on right and wrong, and teach people how Jesus overcame the wrong to produce in us the fruit of His Spirit now. Teach whatever topic it is, but teach what Jesus did about it. That is what people are missing. If you are forever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, if you are forever learning and never being set free, it's because Jesus is missing in your mind. There is no other diagnosis for that. Because if He really set you free, you're free indeed. And it's the truth about Jesus. That's the only truth that can set you free. So I'd encourage you, if you think you know the truth, but you're not being set free, you have the wrong truth. You have the wrong message. Get the right message. What you believe is incorrect. I tell you what, I'm not saying to walk by sight. I'm not saying to gauge whether you are believing the right thing just by your results. But I tell you what, though, if you go on believing the wrong thing all your life, you'll never get any better results until you change your thinking. A lot of us need a shift. Some of us need to continue. If you found the truth and you have a conviction that, man, I have found this truth, I know the truth. I may not know it all, but I know the truth. If you get to a point where you know what you don't know, and you know what you know, but you say, the stuff that I know is the truth. I need to grow in this, then continue. But many of us need a shift, a change. You don't need to keep doing what you're doing and believing what you're believing, because you're just going to get the same results over and over and over again until the day that you die. That's going to happen. So what you need to do is change. What you need to do is change. If your mind stays the same forever, your results will stay the same forever. You need to change what you think. That's called renewing your mind. New thoughts in, old thoughts out. And what are those new thoughts? This is the clincher. What Jesus did for you, for your situation. Everything revolves around Jesus. There is no message that's ever been taught, that's ever set someone free, that hasn't been about Jesus. Directly. Not eventually got back to him. Directly. Nothing. That's the only thing that can set people free. So I would encourage you, if you want to hone in on the right message, put the cross in the center of your mind. Not just what happened on the crucifixion, but what he was actually accomplishing for you through the cross. The benefits he actually gave you through the cross. It's the only thing that sets people free. I only say this because some preachers, you know, you hear some preachers, and some of them you can tell they may have in their mind they're trying to do the right thing or something, but there's seldom any correction. There's seldom any, you need to change something. You know what I mean? And it's just like, I think they want people to just leave feeling, I don't know, patted on the back, or that's their way of teaching grace, or that's their way of teaching whatever. I'm all for teaching grace as if you're teaching it as something Jesus did, right? That's awesome. That just means free gifts. Don't have to earn it. Love it. But to some people, I think that they just want people to leave feeling stroked or just feeling, you know, whatever it is. And the gospel is immensely positive, but sometimes people mistake that for just positive thinking for the sake of positive thinking. And they don't ever, like, you don't ever leave thinking, you know, I need to change my beliefs. But I tell you what, if someone doesn't love you enough to tell you, if you're getting the same results, what are you going to do? Just keep getting the same results until you die? You need to change your thinking. And thank God we have the Lord to teach us. But there needs to be sometimes sort of a fire put under us to say, what am I going to do? Just keep doing the same thing, believing the same thing, believing the same thing, believing the same thing, and expect different results. We need to change our thinking. Now, I'm not saying you need to change or shift on things. If you are confident, then you say, you know what? I have found the truth. Man, I have found the truth about Jesus, and I'm going to continue. And I'm not telling you to shift on the things that the Lord has spoken to, and you are confident that these things are about what Jesus has done for you. But that's not where we're all at. Sometimes it's maybe just in an area that you say, you know what, something's not right here. I need to change what I'm thinking. I need to change the way that I'm perceiving you, Jesus. Sometimes it's just as a whole in our mind, we're just thinking, you know what, this needs to change. But apart from you just saying, getting that fire in your bones to say, I'm going to change the way that I think, I determine right now, I'm going to start changing the way that I think. I'm going to start being diligent in the truth. And it's going to be the truth about Jesus, right? Lord, I'm going to find out what Jesus did for me. I'm going to take advantage of every single resource that comes my way that can help me and encourage me in that message. I'm going to get diligent. I'm going to start reading my Bible every day, right? Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I believe it is, that the inner man, that's our mind, is renewed day by day. It's not a church thing. It's a day after day thing. Man, I'll tell you what, just to give you an example, in my life right now, I have no hobbies. No hobbies whatsoever. I'm not saying it's wrong to have a hobby. I'm saying I have no hobbies whatsoever. Here's what I do. I work until 5 p.m. on a business day, right? I work until 5 p.m. After that, it's not every single day, but if there's like family time or something I'm doing with family, I'll invest in my relationships, right? And do any kind of household stuff or chores or things that need to be done. if I have any free time, it's immediately spent on spending private time with the Lord. I have no hobbies, nothing. I don't do anything else. I can say that pretty confidently. I'm not saying I never do anything else, but when I do something else, it's always an investment in relationships and spending time with family. That's it. If I'm by myself, you are not going to find me by myself watching a movie. You're not going to, and just so you know, I'm not trying to represent that that's wrong, okay? I've done that before in the past. I'm not saying it's wrong to do. I'm just saying there is something when you get a little taste, though, all right? When you get a little taste that the Lord is good, when you've tasted that he's gracious, as 1 Peter says, it does something to you, and you say, you know what, Lord? I'm getting this truth. Now, you can take it however far you want. I'm not saying it's wrong to have a hobby or it's wrong to do those things. I'm not trying to represent that. But I'm just, for the sake of it, if it's worth anything to you, because honestly, sometimes, I'm not saying this in pride whatsoever. I'm just saying this because of the truth. Sometimes people look at you and think, oh, but Pastor Mike, you know, I don't know God like you do, or I don't know, you know, God like Pastor Zay or Miss Kim, and people will look at you like, and they want a certain result. Listen, I don't have a secret formula. Pastor Zay and Miss Kim don't have a secret formula that they, you know, they take a little pill at night and then it makes them know Jesus, you know, more the next morning or something like that. It's just getting serious about taking advantage of the resources that you have to get to know him and then seeking him. Man, I spend hours praying. And I endeavor to, even when I'm working, just renewing my mind and doing this. And then when I'm done with work, I'm just like, where's the free time? Here's the free time. Boom, we're off. I'm just spending time with the Lord. It's not just strictly reading my Bible. I read my Bible. Sometimes I just spend hours reading my Bible. Other times I just spend hours praying. And I just have fun with the Lord. I do whatever I say, Lord, what? I ask him this all the time. I say, what's up, Lord? I say, what do we want to do right now? Because his desires are my desires. So what do we want to do right now? And let's do it. If I want to pray, if I don't feel like reading my Bible at the moment, remember, you should be reading your Bible. But if at that very moment when I first start, if I don't feel like reading my Bible just yet, okay, so we want to pray, let's just talk. And I just start singing. Usually when I'm praying, I'm singing. It's almost always to a tune. Thank you so much, Jesus, for what you've done for me, and thank you so much for how you've blessed me, Lord, and thank you, Lord, that today when I woke up, Lord, you were with me, and when I go to sleep tonight, you're with me. Thank you so much that you never leave me nor forsake me, Lord. Thank you, Father, that I'm forgiven, that in your book right now, Lord, that all my sins are gone. Thank you so much, Jesus, and I just start singing to him, and that's me in my apartment spending time with Jesus. That's how that looks. And then I just pray whatever I remember to pray. The important thing is, too, sometimes you don't know what to pray because you don't know the Lord. So you can't pray much when you don't know God. So then what are you doing? You're hitting Scripture is what you're doing. You listen to a message, but that's not your relationship with God. Pastor Zay and Ms. Kim are not your relationship with God, right? They're not your mediator between God and you. You can hear God for yourself, right? And even if you weren't saved, you can still seek God, and the Bible promises if you seek him, you'll find him, right? So they're not your, but hey, if you certainly wouldn't hurt yourself if you said, I'm going to listen to a message every single day. I'm not saying it would hurt. I'm not also not saying you have to do that. I don't even listen to messages every single day, but wouldn't hurt. But that's not your relationship with God. It shouldn't be taking the bulk of your time with the Lord. And if you have an hour to spend privately with the Lord in a day, it shouldn't just be a message every day, because now you're hindering yourself. But every single day, you spending time with the Lord for yourself and praying and thanking God for what he's done. Again, if you don't know the Lord, guess what? Hit the Scriptures. Start reading in the book of Ephesians. I'm just pulling something out of a hat right now. Read the book of Ephesians. Start there. Say, I'm going to read the whole Bible. Let me just tell you this. I'm trying to simplify this for you. This is not hard stuff. It's not hard stuff. It's not hard stuff. Most people just don't believe that that's how it works, ultimately. Everybody could get the exact same results all the time. Every single person. Every single person. This is not, God did not speak in a dark corner somewhere when he made known his good news. He didn't. People just choose how to take it. He teaches the same gospel. Just so you know, if you are under the sound of my voice right now, you are already hearing your answer. This is your answer. It's not complicated. The truth about Jesus is your answer. But I'm sick. The truth about Jesus is your answer. But I'm unsure. The truth about Jesus is your answer. But I have family problems. The truth about Jesus is your answer. And guess what? I could say that and say that and say that, but it takes your choice on your end to say, you know what? The truth of Jesus is my answer. And you're going to start digging into it. I promise you. You're going to see freedom in your life. Promise you. I can promise you because that's what Jesus already promised. I'm just repeating him. The reason why, I'm just trying to shoot straight with you because I think sometimes we think there's some complicated thing. There's some magic spell or something that, you know, just makes people receive from God more than others. No, it's not. It's really not. If you want results, everybody can, and listen, if I ever see somebody that has a result that I'm not seeing in my life, because that happens, right? You know what I do? I know what I have in Christ. I know what I have in Christ, and I also know that I don't just have it, I have a hope, an expectation. Not that I'm going to see as much as Joe sees in his life. I have an expectation that I'm going to see as much as Jesus sees in his life. So why am I intimidated by Joe? It doesn't matter who Joe. I'm glad that Joe has that result. And it's only when I don't believe. It's only when I don't believe that I have what I have, or when I don't believe that I have a hope of seeing that in my life, that I get threatened by it. You have to disbelieve on one of those two points to ever be threatened by someone else's results. And I'm not saying I've never done it. I'm just saying you have to have disbelief in one of those two places. Either you don't believe you have the same thing as that person, namely the same thing as Jesus, or you don't believe that you have the same hope and expectancy to see those same results that Jesus has received. But it's one of the two, or probably both. If you thought I have everything that the glorified Jesus has, and I have a sure expectation that as I believe, I'm going to see those same results. If Joe has a result that I don't see in my life, that's great. I'm going to see that too. Like, there is no... And you don't have to say it in a threatened way, because I know sometimes you can be jealous of someone else's result, and you go, oh, I don't care. Well, no, I mean like an actual contentment, an actual peace, where you say, yeah, I thank God for that. We all have the same things in Christ. Jesus is the equalizer. We can all see the same results. But can I tell you something, though? The church will not always see the same results, and it has nothing to do with whether we can or can't, because we all can. It has to do with our reaction. God has presented to everybody the truth about Jesus. Anyone that is willing to receive it, God has or will present that to them. You're being presented with it right now. The difference is not, if you want better results, it's the difference is when you go home, the choice you make with that presentation. I'm going to say that one more time. God has presented to every single person. I can say that for sure for everyone here at the very least. Every person has been presented with the exact same gospel. We're in the same room right now hearing the same thing, let alone, of course, we've been with each other, for many of us, for even many years and many services at the very least. Everyone has been presented with the same truth. It's how you react to it. What do you do with that when you go home? That is what makes the difference. And guess what? I'm not condemning you, because you don't spend more time with the Lord to get God's acceptance, to get God to love you more, to get more from God. God loves you the same as he loves me or Pastor Jose or Miss Kim. God accepts you. If you've accepted Jesus as your Lord, he accepts us all the same. He favors us all the same. We're all equally righteous. We learn to get to know it because we need the benefits of it, not to make God accept us more. God is not, you don't get a better relationship with God as a believer because you spend more time with the Lord. Your relationship is based on Jesus. He is the one that reconciled you to the Father. Your relationship, the closeness of your relationship with God, the peace in your relationship with God is based on the sacrifice of Jesus, because Jesus already paid for your sin to give you a peaceful, reconciled, close relationship with God. You have that even if you don't know it. We only spend time with the Lord to get to know the things we've already been given, not to get them. We need to receive from what God has already given. We need to take advantage of what Jesus has already given us. Take advantage of the love with which he's already loved us. You're loved whether you acknowledge it or not. There are people out there walking around in the world right now that don't know the Lord at all. And they're loved the same as we're loved. Getting to know God does not make God love you more. It doesn't make God do more. It's, Lord, I need to receive this, though. If you've loved me so much, I want to get to know it. And just so you know, that is the taste of the goodness of God that would provoke me to do what I just told you with my schedule. It's not because I think I'm getting something from God, but it provokes me. And I don't do that perfectly by far. I get distracted. Man, I was walking around my apartment recently, and I had to do some kind of construction stuff in my apartment, and I was walking around, and I'm like looking at basically a to-do list around me, because I see all this stuff that's not finished, and I'm trying to pray, and I'm seeing all this stuff, and I keep getting distracted. So I mean, I just close my eyes. I'm like, well, I'm just closing my eyes, and I just walked around with my eyes closed and just peek at the floor every now and then so I don't bump into something. I'm not saying you don't get distracted or anything like that at times. Let me rephrase that. I'm not saying you can't get distracted at times, but my point is that just do it with your whole heart. Listen, I mean, if you shoot for your whole heart and you got 7/8 of your heart that you had given to the Lord on a certain night, gosh, and that's better than than not attempting to give the Lord your full attention. I mean, and when you get distracted, you do that again. But just so you know, there is no secret formula to this. It's not a secret. The truth of Jesus sets people free, period. No one will or can ever tell you any different. That's it. There's no secret thing. I just told you what I do. You know what? I've done that most days for, I don't know, trying to remember how old I am right now, immortality problems. Whatever, I don't know, over 10 years, 15 years, something like that. Most days, every day for 15 years. It doesn't have to take you 15 years. But my point is just do it. And guess what? When tomorrow you're doing it and then the next day you forget, you know what you do? You just do it again. And at some point, it becomes a habit. At some point, you realize, I can't live without this. At some point, that gets registered in your mind. But honestly, what's your other alternative? To not start? To not start? So you start and you start imperfectly. Yeah, join the club. But go. You know what I mean? But go. It's like you keep planning this vacation all your life. You got enough money for it. Everything's ready. You got relatives waiting for you in a house at your destination. And at some point, you need to go. And you say, but what if I need gas? Well, yeah, you're going to need gas. What if you make a detour? What if you make a wrong turn? You might make a wrong turn, but you could stay at your house and never attempt, or you can let's go, and you will get there. If you go, you will get there. And if you make a wrong turn, then you get back on track and say, Lord, I'm getting my focus back on you, and you get to your destination. I'm not saying I'm at the destination of full knowledge of Jesus. I'm not even saying I'm close. I don't know where I'm at with that. I'm just saying, though, but you go. And there's no other advice anyone else can give you than what I just gave you just there. That's it. It's so simple. Most people pass it up because it's so simple. It's so, so simple. Like I said, there is no secret formula except there's a formula. It's just not secret. Get to know Jesus. You already know the resources that you have at your disposal. It's just a matter of using them. I already told you a few. Messages are great, but that's a side help to your relationship with God or to your knowledge of Jesus. That's a side help. You bring that in addition to what you're doing personally with the Lord, because He loves you. He doesn't love you through Pastor Jose. He loves you. Again, if you don't know God, this is what you do, okay? I'm going to tell you what to do. And I'll never give anyone any further advice than this that wants change in their life. Here's the advice to everybody, and we've already given this over the years, probably 1,000, more than 1,000 times. Here's what you do, okay? Let's start from scratch, and I'm going to pause with this, and then we'll get into the rest of the message. This is the intro, just so you know. This is what you do. We're going to start from scratch as if someone has never even heard about Jesus before, and someone just told them. Here's what you do. You go home. For that matter, you get in your car. For that matter, do it right now. And you say, Jesus, if what they're saying is true, Lord, I want to know you. And you tell them you want to reveal yourself to me. I'm willing to seek you. But then guess what you do? Then you actually do the seeking. You cast your care on the Lord and say, Lord, reveal yourself to me as I seek you. The Bible says that all who seek find. That means you can't, if someone didn't find, it's because they never sought, right? So if I'm not finding, well, you're not seeking then, or you're seeking wrong, or you get the wrong message. So what you do is you say that, and what do you do now? Talking about someone doesn't even know the Lord? You hit the scriptures. You crack open that thing, wipe the dust off of it, you crack it open. Again, start in Ephesians. That's my recommendation to you right now. Start in the book of Ephesians and read through, you know, whatever, read through until the book of Jude, say, and then go to the Gospels and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm just throwing stuff out top of my head, right? So you do that, you crack open the scriptures, you start reading. As you're reading the Bible, you're praying. And when you learn something, you thank God for it. On the side, if you really want something, listen to a message every day. And you say, okay, and don't listen to a message if all you have is an hour, because then you would be saying that I would be replacing my personal time with the Lord with the message. And we're not going to do that, right? Because I don't need a mediator other apart from Jesus. You listen to a message if you have the extra time to listen to that message, which let me just tell you, we probably all do, right? Listen to a message every day, but the focus is I'm seeking Jesus. Show me Jesus. Hit the scriptures. Read those things. Get to know the Lord. Ask the Lord questions, and then just keep on reading. Those are the resources that you have at your disposal to get to know Jesus. But you have the Holy Spirit to reveal these things, and that's all the advice anybody needs. Can I tell you this? Until one is doing that every single day of their life, you don't need any more advice. You don't need an answer to a question. You don't need prayer. You don't need anything. Until you're doing that, because that's your answer. To not do that and then to think that there's something else is to really not believe that that's your answer. The truth of Jesus is your answer. And that's the only answer God will ever give you. It will be the same tomorrow and the next day until Jesus comes back. So I just gave you kind of a practical routine, but that's clear. And I just encourage you to take advantage of those things because, like I said, the Lord wants you to know him more than you want to know him, and it's just a matter of let's get going here, right? Every single day, though. Every single day. You don't need anything more than that.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.